I'm glad they're excited about children's church. We have some awesome kiddos in this church. Hi, guys. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Holy God, we do thank you and praise you that you speak to us. Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes to see and hear, and not only be hearers, but doers also. Lord, we pray that you would use us to be the living word of the into the world, even as Jesus Christ is the living word. We can see your word lived out, and we ask that you would help us do likewise. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue our series with Larry Selig's book, Five Prayers God Loves to Answer, the first half was looking at the Lord's Prayer. The second half is looking at a lot of questions that people have about prayer. Last week, Andy Byers talked about what it's like to listen to God. This week, the question is, how do you know you're listening to God and not something else? It's a question of discernment. How do we discern when it is God's voice speaking? So we're going to use two different passages. One probably is very familiar to you. This is 1 Kings 19, the story of Elijah on the mountaintop. There, Elijah went into a cave and spent the night. The word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord will pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way that you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphath, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." Turning over to the book of 1 John, another call to discern the spirits. This is 1 John chapter 4. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A few years ago, right after I first started, I got a text from Jim Sharon. Jim was traveling in China on a business trip, and I wondered what on earth he had to say to me from China. His text said, "Is Steve okay?" Pastor Steve has had medical problems from time to time, but as far as I knew at that moment, Steve was perfectly fine. So I was really puzzled by this text. So I responded, well, I think he's okay, but I'll text him. And Steve's response, I'm on the way to the ER. And he ended up being in the hospital for several days. It was very interesting that God told Jim in China. And it felt like one of those moments where it was time to listen up. I wanted to blow it off at first, but I knew that I needed to verify. It was an easy thing to verify. But God also, I think, had a message for Steve that God was taking care of him and would lead him through this difficult time. God's eye is on the sparrow. He knows what is going on with us, and he wants to reveal himself to us. God doesn't always speak in an audible voice like he spoke to Elijah. He sometimes speaks in a nudge. Pastor Linda gets nudges all the time, and it is amazing how often they're accurate. It's mainly, go check on so-and-so. And when she goes to check on so-and-so, sure enough, they needed help. Sure enough, they were in a crisis or just feeling really lonely and having a bad day. God can nudge us in a lot of different ways, but it's challenging to know what nudges are coming from ourselves, what nudges are coming from spirits that are not of God, and what nudges are coming from the Holy Spirit, who is telling us when to go or when to stay or what to do. Pastor Selig lays out a group of different questions, five different questions that we can use to help ourselves think through, is this truly of God? And if so, what should I do about it? His five questions are this: Does it give honor to Jesus Christ now and in the future? Is it biblical? Do others guided by the Holy Spirit confirm that this seems to be of God? Do verifiable facts confirm now or in the future that this is from God? And finally, does what you are hearing sound like Jesus? Does it sound like Jesus? As we look at the story of Elijah, it's an interesting moment in Elijah's life. Keep in mind the context here. Elijah has just come from the incredible outpouring of fire from heaven to consume the two altars, his altar to the Lord and the altar of Baal, and then it consumed 700 prophets of Baal all at one shot. It seemed like the ultimate victory and proof that God was the Lord Almighty. And yet, just after that, Jezebel tells him, I'm going to kill you. And it's that moment that scares him to death, and he runs for his life. He's not dwelling in the majesty and power of God. He only sees the threat that comes from a human being. And so he goes running. But God knows. God sees him as he runs. He takes care of him in the wilderness. He feeds him with the ravens. And then he brings him to the top of Mount Sinai, also called Mount Horeb. And he says, I will meet you here. When you think about what he has just experienced, the fire coming down from heaven, you would think that he would be expecting something incredibly powerful, some huge manifestation of God. But somehow God speaks to his heart. And as this whirlwind goes by, Elijah, who knows the voice of God, knows that God is not in that whirlwind. As the earthquake shakes the whole mountain, he knows that God is not in that earthquake. And even fire that he had seen recently, he realizes that this fire is not the voice of God. Does it sound like God? And somehow he knows that none of these sounds sound like God. It is only in the gentle whisper that he recognizes the voice of God. That is when he is willing to go out of the cave and talk to the Lord again. In a way, I think God was testing him to see, was he looking for a giant sign, or was he truly listening to God deep in his heart? And surely he heard in that gentle whisper what he was saying. One amazing line from a commentary I read this week that just smacked me upside the head. This is the quote for 2020. Are you ready for this? God speaks in the reverberating silence that follows tumultuous disasters. God speaks in the reverberating silence that follows tumultuous disasters. What is God speaking in that still small voice this year? After we have had one disaster after another, a global pandemic, what is the still small voice that God is speaking in the midst of this time? We have seen all of these majestic, you know, seemingly divine disasters, but God wants to speak in the reverberating silence that follows those tumultuous times. God, in the midst of this, takes care of Elijah. He is tending him. He feeds him. He gives him water to drink. He restores him after this long journey. And it's funny because I see in this Elijah sort of still wallowing in self-pity. He knows it's God, but when God says, "What are you doing here?" after this incredible revelation, he still plays the same tape in his head. "I'm the only one left." And he wants to whine to God, but God has something so much bigger than what Elijah can see. All Elijah can see is this threat from one person. God sees this whole change, an entire regime change of the nation of Israel. God is about to do something so much bigger than Elijah. God doesn't let Elijah just wallow in that self-pity. He gives him a new call and sends him out. And Elijah knows that he can trust the Lord. And suddenly his eyes are lifted away from himself and his own troubles and worries, and he sees this bigger call of God. When we think about this moment, we start with that first question: does it give honor to Jesus Christ now and in the future? Obviously, Jesus had not come in the flesh at this point, but he was with God, within the Trinity. And in that moment, does this bring honor to God? Does it bring honor to the Almighty? God is honored in Elijah's obedience. And he knows that God is the Lord of angel armies, and he is the God of his people, of Israel. 1 John 4:2 says very clearly, "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." So does it honor Jesus Christ? Is that the center? Is that the focus? One of the things that Jesus has been convicting our leadership team here at the church about in the last year is that a whole lot of things that we have done in this church, by this church, have been for our glory. See, God, what an amazing church we are. See how cool our programs are. See what we can do. And Jesus pretty clearly said, "You're stealing my glory." We had to spend a whole lot of time on our knees repenting of that and saying, "Lord, the only thing we want to do is bring you glory, not ourselves. Lord, use us as your tool. Equip us. Help us to help other churches, help us to build the kingdom of God in Mount Lebanon and around the world. Do not help us build the kingdom of MLEPC. We have had to say, does this honor Jesus Christ with every single thing we've talked about doing? Does this bring honor to us, or does it bring honor to the Lord? And part of that honor is submitting to God. It's saying, "Jesus, you are Lord. You're not just buddy old pal, you're Lord." And we have to submit to God and say, "Thy will be done." In our obedience, like with Elijah, in our obedience, we bring honor to Jesus Christ, even when it seems foolish to the world. Again, 1 John 4, they are from the world and speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to him, to them. We are from God, and whoever listens to God listens to us. But whoever's not from God does not listen to us. When we speak the word of God, we are going to get rejected by people who are only thinking about the world's way of doing things. But when we honor God, the people who hear from God will hear those words and will try to seek him and honor him because of how we bring him to the Lord. I heard something challenging the other day. It was when you're trying to share Jesus with people, do they respond about you saying, "Wow, that's a really cool person," Or do they say, wow, Jesus is an amazing person? Are you trying to be the cool one, or are you making much of Jesus Christ? Does this bring honor to God? The next question is related. Is it biblical? Does it bring honor to God in your obedience? Are you following the instructions of Scripture? Is whatever the thing is, it's telling you to draw closer to God, to draw others closer to God through Scripture? I heard a speaker one time point out the fact that the Spirit that's speaking to you should be the same Spirit that inspired the Holy Scriptures. There's no difference between the Holy Spirit speaking today and the way the Holy Spirit spoke when the Bible was written the first time. We kind of want to wander through, frequently it can be the spirit of the world that we want to chase, but if it contradicts the Bible, it's not the same thing. We do have to be careful here, because I think some people like to just say, what does the Bible say, and they just flip along and point to a verse. You have to be really careful what verses you end up pointing to. You know, something about the slaughter of the innocents or things like that. We know that we need to follow the arc of Scripture, the whole message of Scripture, the message that God is holy, that God redeems, that God will restore. Is it biblical in the sense of redemption, of honoring Jesus Christ, and of pointing to the redemption of the whole world? Those are the biblical principles and truths that we need to hold on to and rest on to. And that's the kind of the litmus test. As we look at that, is this whatever we're hearing, does it bring life? Does it honor Jesus Christ through the words of Scripture? The third one is, do others guided by the Holy Spirit confirm that this seems to be of God? Do others who are guided by the Spirit confirm that this seems to be of God? One of the Proverbs says, where there is no counsel, people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is wisdom in gathering people together to give advice. You have to be careful about the people that you ask for advice. They need to be people who honor the Lord with their lives and who know Scripture well. But if they are people that you really trust, it is good to get their input. Are they hearing the same thing that you're hearing? In the story of Acts, where Paul has set his face toward Jerusalem, he is heading there, and God has warned him that he is going to suffer persecution, but he's not going to be killed. He will testify before Caesar. But all along the line, he's getting prophecies about that. This is Acts 21, verse 11. Coming over to us, this prophet took Paul's belt and tied his own hands and feet with it and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul had a different interpretation of this prophecy. He knew that it was true, that he would be bound up. But he also knew that God was going to use the situation. So hearing from different people sometimes can confirm it. We also need to make sure that we confirm the interpretation. Paul knew he had this deep sense of calling in his life. When we were praying about Vacation Bible School, should we do Vacation Bible School this year? One of the reasons why we stopped what we were doing with VBS a couple of years ago was because we started to think it was for our glory instead of the glory of Jesus. And it was like God wanted us to hit the reset button. And we kept praying and praying, is this the year? Is this the year? A year ago, early January 2020, we prayed a lot. Is this the year? And we thought maybe something in the neighborhoods, that would be amazing. It wouldn't be all about the show that we can put on here. But God said no. A bunch of us were praying, and it just seemed like God said no over and over again, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then the pandemic happened, and it was like, oh, that's why. So this year, a small group of women started praying together, and they really felt like it was time to do VBS. And so we decided to pray as a larger group. Is God going to confirm that message in a larger group? And sure enough, person after person got a confirmation, had the sense that, yes, this is where God is leading. And then finally, we're still looking like it would be great to have one thing outside of our church that would confirm this. I went to a presbytery meeting, and they said, go into the neighborhoods. Get out of your building and go into the neighborhoods. And it was amazing that God was speaking the same message to our whole presbytery as he was to our church. And we saw in each of those confirmations that God is up to something. And we're excited to see what he's going to do. We're trying to remain flexible. It's an interesting time to figure out how to do this thing that we've never done before. But we know that God is in it, and he will lead us, and he will guide us. Through those many counselors who are filled with the Spirit, we saw that confirmation of the message people were getting. Do verifiable facts confirm now or in the future that this is from God? When I got the prophecy from Jim about Steve being in the hospital, it was easy to verify. I got in touch with Steve, and sure enough, that one was true. There are other times that we can see God opening a door that we never thought would be possible. A crazy situation happened before I got the job here. I was looking at a lot of different churches, and I felt like I was not getting anywhere. I was smashing my face against the door. But at the beginning of my search, God had said, don't worry, they'll call you. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do then? But God said, don't worry, they'll call you. And sure enough, it was months. It was almost a year when I got a call from Bruce Tenenbaum. Would you ever consider being the interim at MLEVC? And I'm like, my human voice said, no. But it was just such an obvious thing that God verified that prophecy by that phone call. And that, in a way, gave me the courage to take on you guys. Ashley Gardner still says, are you're sure that you should be there? But it's amazing how God used all these different things to lead me here. A similar thing happened. If you were around as everything shut down last March, you heard me tell the story of what God had been warning us about as a church. In October, November, one person got this message that we needed to stop our programs. And we were like, what? I'm sorry, that doesn't work. And that one of the programs was Fired Up Friday, and our best successful outreach to children. And it's like, how can we stop Fired Up Friday? And the response was, the community will understand. I'm like, how would they understand? Somebody else at the beginning of December said the same thing. God wants us to stop. And we didn't even know what to do with that. We prayed about it and just came up with nothing. Within the week of that person hearing God say stop, we got an email, a verifiable source outside of the church. It was the Pittsburgh Project, and they announced to all of their donors the crazy thing that they were going to stop their, God had said to stop their programs for the summer of 2020. And we're just like, okay, God is up to something, and we don't know what it is. We have no idea what God wants to do. And then the most verifiable fact of them all was that, sure enough, mid-March, everything stopped. We're still trying to understand what he meant by that. One of the people that got the word stop said this could be a year, year and a half, and we thought that was absolutely insane, and here we are over a year later. Okay, God, what does that mean? She also heard the word June, and I really was hoping that it was last June, and here we are. So sometimes you get a message and you don't understand it, but when you see verified facts, you have to go, okay, God, I know this is you. I don't get it, but I know it's you. And having that warning as we went into this helped us to say, God, I know this is you, even as everything shuts down, even as our identity as a church seems to be completely wiped off the face of the map. Who are we, and what do you want us to do? And yet we had the sense that God was going to be in the stop, even as he had promised. It was a warning, and it was a preparation. We're still praying a lot. Please pray with us about what church looks like when we start opening back up again. But God is already bearing fruit in our church. And we are so grateful for that, that God is up to something, and we continue to submit to him and say, God, show us what to do. And we trust that he will continue to guide. We don't always, very often at all, get these messages that are that strong. But when it was verified by an outside source and then verified by a global pandemic, we knew that God was up to something, and we trust, as we're in the middle of this, that God will continue to guide and lead, not only in this time, but after this time. And he'll show us what brings him the most glory and not what brings our church the most glory. The final question, does what you are hearing sound like Jesus? Does it sound like Jesus? Dr. Seelig tells this great story that I loved. Billy Graham would try to call his wife from wherever in the world he was from, and where he was traveling, and one time there was so much static on the line, somebody said, "How in the world can you tell that's your wife with all that static?" And his response was, "I have been married to Ruth for many years now, and I would know her voice anywhere." Do you know God's voice anywhere? Elijah knew God's voice anywhere. Elijah knew that that was God who spoke, not in the whirlwind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the still, small voice. We so frequently get trapped in people saying, go this way, this is the easiest way, it makes the most sense, but is it the still, small voice? The way to get to know God's voice is to read his word, is to chew on this book. Don't just glance over it, but meditate on it, savor it. These are the words of God. This is his voice speaking. And the more we know the word, the more we can understand and listen to God's voice beyond the word, that he is with us and he's speaking to us even right now. The word says there will be a voice behind you speaking, whether you need to go to the left or to the right. We can trust that God will keep speaking. He will bring scriptures to life. That's one of the best ways to know if it's God, if it's scripture, to constantly listen and seek. One time I was the February of my senior year of college, and I didn't know what I was going to do after college. All of my friends had jobs. It seemed like everybody had a plan, and they were heading out, and it was not clear what I needed to do. And so the only thing I knew to do was to pray, and I was getting so desperate, I asked a friend who had an apartment if I could use his apartment for a silent retreat. He was going to be gone all day, and he said that he'd come back and pick me up at 5. So I go to his apartment. I'm armed with my Bible and my journal and my music, and I'm ready to hang out with God all day. And I read my Bible really hard, and I wrote in my journal really hard, and I listened to music really hard, and I got nothing. So I read my Bible really hard, and wrote my journal really hard, and I listened to music really hard, and I still got nothing. And that repeated all day long. 4:45, my friend is coming back at 5. I finally was like, fine, God, don't talk to me. And still a small voice. It wasn't a voice, but it was words. I just wanted to let you know that I love you. I just wanted to let you know that I love you. Here I was trying to figure it all out, to get all the details, to get it all organized. And God just wanted to spend time with me. That was the still small voice, and that promise stayed with me in through this really tough time of looking for work after college. And it was the end of December before I found a job. What job was it? That amazing job with World Vision. God had a plan, but all along he needed me to know, as I went through the ups and downs, that he loved me. That is the voice. That's what God sounds like. God loves us and has freedom and joy for us. 2 Timothy says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. This has been a season where fear seems to be the loudest voice we hear. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen after all of this? How do we survive even day to day? But God wants to remind us that his voice isn't the spirit of fear. His voice is power and love and a sound mind. When we listen to prophecies, we shouldn't let fear overwhelm it. We should say, okay, God, you have given us a spirit of power and love. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do with what the world is saying? How can we settle on power and love and sound mind rather than being getting controlled and eaten up by fear? Another way you can tell the difference between the sound of God's voice and the sound of the enemy's voice: the Holy Spirit convicts, the enemy condemns. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse you. Oh, my favorite, least favorite thing that he does. Like, when I'm trying to go to sleep, he's like, "Do you remember that stupid thing you did the other day?" How often do you hear that voice? And it's a voice of condemnation. The Holy Spirit will convict us. He will remind us that what we said hurt somebody's feelings, that what we did was not in obedience to God's will. He will convict us. But when he convicts us, it leads us to confession, to repentance, and to restoration of our relationship with God. The enemy wants us to think, you're terrible, and God never wants anything to do with you again. That's how the condemnation draws us away from God, into paralysis, into captivity, whereas the Holy Spirit leads us toward God to repentance, confession, and freedom. So as you have all of these different questions to ask, what do you do when they all seem like, you know, instead of a very black and white yes, no, they all seem like maybe? What do you do with that when you still don't clearly know? You have to pray a lot. You have to read scripture a lot. Sometimes God is calling you to wait. Sometimes God is saying those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Maybe the waiting time is a resting time. Maybe the waiting time is so that God can show off and be clear that it's not your strength. Think about Moses as they got to the edge of the Red Sea. They've got Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And they're like, what do we do now? And God says, wait and see the manifestation of the Lord. And what does he do? He blows apart the Red Sea so that they can go forward. Wait and see the Almighty in action. Wait and see what I'm going to do for you. Other times, they found themselves at the edge of a different body of water. They were at the edge of the Jordan. They are being called to go into the Promised Land, and the instructions that time were wade into the river. You know, it would have been a whole lot safer to just wait on the edge for God to clear that up. But God said, wade into the river. The people carrying the ark had to go ankle deep into the river, and then God parted the water. Andy Byer said last week, a car can't go in park. You're not going to go anywhere if you're staying in park. Sometimes God wants you to just take a step. And taking that step may lead to doors that you don't even see. God may open that up to ways that you need to go forward. Sometimes you take a step and you run smack dab into a stone wall. That's happened to me before. But God, the other thing is that when we run into a wall and then another slammed door and a closed window and all of those things, we have to trust that God is doing that intentionally, that God is teaching us something in the middle of those dead ends. He is preparing us for something, and he is waiting for that door to open, for the right time for that door to open, for us to be ready, for the people on the other side of that door to be open. God is in the slammed doors as much as he is in the open ones. Sometimes it is hard, it's painful, but God is in the middle of it. God is a revealing God. He wants us to be able to discern his voice. He wants us to be able to know which spirits are his. He wants us to seek for the honoring of Jesus Christ. He wants us to seek for the scriptural basis for what he is calling us to do. He wants us to discern together. The body of Christ discerns together. We pray together to seek what God is calling us. He wants to show us very clearly sometimes. I would prefer a neon sign in the sky, but sometimes he does want to show us with verifiable facts what he's saying is true. And he wants us to learn how to listen to the sound of his voice. And brothers and sisters, whatever God is telling you, I can guarantee part of it is, I just wanted to let you know that I love you. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you that you are a speaking God. You are a revealing God. Lord, we thank you that you do continue to speak through scriptures, through wisdom and discernment. Lord, you know how cloudy our eyes can be sometimes, how prone to wander we are, how easy it is to listen to other voices that sometimes are counterfeit and not of you. Lord, we pray that you would speak clearly this morning to people who have questions in their hearts about what you are leading and calling them to do. Lord, we pray that you would draw them to yourself, that you would show them clearly through scripture, through words of wisdom from others, that you are a holy God who longs to wash our sins away and bring us into your presence, to restore us, and then send us out to honor you. Holy God, we pray that you would be with those who are struggling right now, those who have lost loved ones. So many have lost loved ones in the last year, in the last few years. We pray that you would lift them up as they wait on you, as they wait in grief. We pray that the peace that passes understanding would guard their hearts and minds in Christ. Lord, we pray that those who are seeking your wisdom for job changes and economic hardship and spiritual hardship, emotional hardship, that you would come alongside them, that you would speak quietly beyond the noise and the whirlwind and the earthquakes and fire, and remind them in your still small voice that they are your dearly beloved children. And God, it is as your children, only as your children, we are able to pray, as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.